The text for our sermon this evening is from Psalm 41. Again, as we continue our study of this, beginning with the verse, "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, 'A deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies.'" God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. All who hate me whisper about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, "A deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." A deadly thing is poured out on him. They said this of David. And this is how the unbeliever sees suffering or any uncomfort in this life. Without faith, every bad thing is seen as the end. It is a tragedy. For those without faith, every bad thing appears to be the end. And while we as Christians can acknowledge, even the scriptures acknowledge, that bad things do happen in our world, the faithful Christian knows that when a deadly thing is poured out on him, we know it's not our end. As deadly, as dangerous, and as much as it hurts, we know that suffering is not our end. But we know that God promises to use even a deadly thing for our good. So today we're going to play a little bit of a flip. Whereas the text, Daniel hears this accusation against him, in the end, we Christians by faith can repeat this verse of this psalm back at our enemies, the world, the devil, and especially our own sinful flesh. One section of the Bible stood out to me as I reflected on this verse. And of course, it was the story of Job and his friends. If you remember Job and his friends, and even Job's own wife thought that Job had met his end. They asked him over and over again, with all the tragedies that happened to Job, they asked him over and over again, "Job, what did you do to deserve all this suffering? God must really be mad at you." Even Job's own wife, as she saw Job's life falling apart and the suffering that he was enduring, Job's wife, she saw a deadly thing poured out on Job and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" She didn't see how a deadly thing, like Job's illness, his rotting skin, his dead children, how could anyone go on living? "There's no hope, Job. You can't trust God. What did you do wrong? You better fix this, or it's the end for you." A deadly thing is poured out on him. "Job, you will not rise from where you lie. Your problems are too heavy, even for Jesus." With friends like these, who needs enemies, huh? What is curious about our wording today with David echoing back to us what his enemies are saying and what he's hearing is, well, in one way, his enemies are correct. It is a deadly thing. When suffering or difficult times come upon us in our life, it is meant to kill you. In a way. Suffering and in difficult times in our life, it's meant to kill the things that we trust in the most. God causes suffering in our lives so that he would strip away the things that we might be worshiping, that we might be trusting in. God sends suffering, or what Jesus says, crosses. So that, yeah, we would be killed. Because to be honest, most of the times, it is our sinful flesh that needs to be killed. Or as Jesus said, crucified. Most of the time, it's not the enemies out there and it's not the world, but most of the time it seems like our enemy is that voice that listens to the world that says, how can you follow a God who would allow you to suffer? In Matthew 10, Jesus said, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So yes, in a way, the enemies of David, our enemies, the devil in the world, and our sinful flesh is right. When suffering comes upon us and we echo and hear this psalm, a deadly thing is poured out on you, we can say, yeah. The difficult thing for us is that we don't get to choose our crosses. You don't get to choose how your suffering is poured out on you. And your crosses are never easy. They're not supposed to be. Because that old sinful side of us, that old sinful flesh in us, even though it has been put to death in baptism, as Luther says, that old Adam in us is a good swimmer. Even though he was drowned in baptism, our flesh still clings to us in this life. And whenever suffering comes, that flesh, sinful side of us says, it's never going to get better. It's the end. How will I ever recover from this? Because while we can imagine that David heard these actual things from his advisors, from his enemies, the loudest voice was probably his own conscience. That voice or that feeling of abandonment. When things in life don't go exactly how we want, when we're faced with big decisions, we just don't know which way to go, when we doubt God's provision for us, and the temptation is to listen to those doubts. You messed up. You'll never recover from this. You're not going to get it figured out. A deadly thing's been poured out on you. You're not going to rise. Whatever it might be. And how often, so many times, it's something that maybe even we ourselves have done. And we are our own worst critics. We don't hear and listen to the gospel and remember our baptism, where Christ has promised you forgiveness, even for those things that still haunt you, those things that you still listen to your flesh about. And this is the beauty of St. Paul's teaching on baptism, that when we're baptized, that old sinful flesh of ours that listens to our enemies, that old sinful flesh was put to death, but our flesh so often, it listens to these doubts and it sneaks up on us when we least expect it. The beautiful thing about what Paul says about baptism is that your baptism still stands. Even when sin catches you by surprise, even when you find yourself doing something you know you shouldn't have done, St. Paul says you are forgiven. Your sin doesn't stick to you. And in Romans, Paul says when we repent, when we agree with the law that our sin is wicked and evil, St. Paul says that's good because that tells you that it's not you, that it's that old sinful flesh that's holding on. And you, dear Christian, are not ruled by your flesh. Now, we can choose to let our flesh run wild. We can answer this deadly thing is poured out on him. We can say, oh no, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not a sinner. There's nothing can hurt me. I don't deserve this. We can let our flesh run wild when we refuse repentance, when we don't want to pick up our cross. We can let our flesh run wild when we don't live by faith, when we choose to worry, or we think that our problems are too big. But that's especially when it's time to repent. Because you can let your flesh get the better of you by answering your suffering with anger. You can answer your suffering by gossiping, just not following God's word. That's when you let your flesh run wild and it will thrive and it will attack your faith. But this is not the way of the Spirit. It is a deadly thing poured out upon him. He will not rise. But you see, it wasn't just Job and it's not just us. Remember when Jesus was on the cross. First, remember the two criminals that were on his side. At the beginning, they looked at him and they hurled insults at him and they said, "Hey, can't you save us and yourself? It's our end. We're not going to make it past this. We're doomed." But then, of course, the one thief, he repented. The one thief repented. And do you remember what he said? He said to the other thief, he said, "How can you do this?" He said, how can you hurl insults at Jesus? He is here innocent. We deserve this." And he turned to Jesus, and he didn't ask Jesus to take away his cross. He didn't ask Jesus to make everything hunky-dory. He didn't ask to be saved in the flesh. But he turned to Jesus, and he trusted in him. And he said, "Remember me in your kingdom." The repentant thief knew that his cross was not the end, because he knew who was being crucified with him. He knew that he could trust in Jesus, even though a deadly thing was being poured out on him. He knew he would be saved. "Remember me in your kingdom." And then also, too, remember the people walking by yelling at Jesus while he's on the cross. "A deadly thing has been poured out on him. He will not rise. It's the end for him. He saved others, but he couldn't save himself." But in that deadly thing, the wrath of God being poured out upon Jesus, it is there that the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, the sins we've walked right into, the sins that have taken us by surprise, the sins that others have committed against us, it is when that deadly thing is being poured out on him, he is absorbing it all upon himself. He's drinking the cup of God's wrath that's being poured out in full force. A deadly thing indeed poured out on Jesus, but he did rise. They thought the cross was the end of Jesus' reign, but in reality, it is his victory. In death, he destroyed death. A deadly thing was poured out upon him so that we would rise. So that our crosses, like for that thief next to him, our crosses would drive us to trust in Jesus. "Lord, remember me in your kingdom." A deadly thing was poured out on Jesus so that righteousness and life and forgiveness would be poured out on you. So when it seems that a deadly thing is poured out on you, it is a cross. It is meant to sting. But since you have died with Christ already and been raised in holy baptism, Jesus shows us that our crosses are not our end. The things that might seem so insurmountable right now, loneliness, doubt, or just confusion in life, this too shall pass. You may be at a time when our Lord is teaching you to say to your sinful flesh, your enemy, "A deadly thing has been poured out upon my flesh. My sinful flesh will not rise." Because to be honest, that is your future. Unless Christ returns first, you and I will face death. And Christ will use your death to destroy that flesh that listens to the doubts, that likes to worry. The good news is that your sinful flesh will not rise. It will never bother you again. But indeed, when Christ returns, your body and soul will rise to live with him forever. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.